Thanks for tuning in to Next Level Church Podcast. For more information, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. So if you're new to Next Level, or if maybe you've been attending for a while, you need to know we like energy and we like some feedback. And so it's okay for you to make a little noise. Like you can, even if you're not excited to be here, you can just let some noise, maybe a grunt for you, but like just make some type of noise, because I don't know if you know this, we can't hear your thoughts. So when we say, how you doing? And only six people in this section go, woo. It's like, okay, is everyone else miserable? So let's try this again. Good morning. How are we doing out there? Woo, there we go. So much better. There's still some people in this section with arms crossed looking at me like they want to kill me. It's okay. We're going to have fun today. Today we are continuing, we're actually concluding our series entitled Our Imperfect Family. And this series, I hope it's been practical for you. That's been the goal of this series, is to give some practical things. We all have families. We all come from families. And let's just be honest, our families are imperfect. We all could use a little bit of help on how to become better in the family. And so to conclude our series today, we're going to talk about the number one issue, according to statistics, the number one issue in families. And the number one issue, according to families, and the leading cause for divorce for married couples is finances. And so we're going to talk about money and the family. And to help me with this, I brought some friends along. Would you help me welcome today my friends Jamie and Carlin? Jamie is one of my longest tenured friends. I met Jamie when he was in seventh grade. I was in ninth grade. We went to church together. And Carlin is potentially the most generous person God has ever put on this earth. And so they're great friends of ours. And I know you guys well. Not everyone here knows you. So help us get to know you a little bit more. Tell us about yourselves, how long you've been married, you have kids, what you do for a job, all those details.
All right. I'm Jamie, and this is Carlin. Why is that funny? Okay. Thanks for laughing. And we've been married almost 12 years. It'll be 12 years in May. We have two kids, Wyatt, who is 8, Willow, who is 5. And we are both in real estate. We own a real estate company. And so you can call us for your real estate needs.
Yeah, selfless plug there.
Yeah. And what else? That's it, I think.
Those are the big ones.
We live together.
We work together. We live together. We rode here together.
That's good.
We do lots of stuff together.
Eat a snack together.
Yep. That's good. That's good. I'm glad that you guys live together as husband and wife. That's good. Thanks for clearing
it's
that
more
up.
More economical that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, that's
talking
good.
Talking about money.
That's good. So we want to. They don't know your story, and so just so everyone's on the same page, help us know your why. When it comes to like your why with finances, why did you guys decide to do what you've done with your finances?
Well, when we were first married, we got into a couple discussions yep. about money, and we decided that it was going to be a reoccurring topic in our house, and so we wanted to change the trajectory of our future. And so Jamie actually got this book, and we started following the principles in the book, and there's a lot of biblical principles in the book, and then we just quickly realized that money doesn't solve everything, but it definitely gives you options. And when I got pregnant with our first child, I planned this, perfect pregnancy. They gave me the due date. I marked it in my calendar, and none of that actually happened. Yeah. So we ended up driving to and from Norfolk, and I was on bed rest and all kinds of fun stuff. And I quickly learned, like, hey, if we did not get control of our finances, like, I would be sitting here making a decision, like, am I going to go to work to pay our bills, or am I going to be with our baby? Mm. And it just made me like really passionate about the ability to have options. And as we have, grown in our finances, we have learned that it's really fun to give, and you have to have money to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's helpful, at least.
Sure.
And it just makes it, it's more fun. And like Dave Ramsey says all the time, like, you have to live like no one else, so then later you can live like no one else. We're here to tell you that it's fun to live like no one else.
Yeah, yeah. So you mentioned Dave Ramsey. Jamie, tell us a little bit, is that what's helped you the most in your financial, tell us what's helped you the most in your financial journey?
Yeah, like you said, we argued about money a lot early on, and then I came across a Dave Ramsey book called Total Money Makeover, and it just has some simple principles that really radically change our financial future, and it's been been life-changing for sure.
That's awesome. That's great. So we are a church, obviously. So money's a tricky thing to talk about in the church world, especially for those that are new to the church. Often it's accused of churches, hey, you just want my money. That's all you care about is my money. And what I want to make sure that everyone hears, if you're new to the church scene, if this is your first time visiting, we don't want anything from you. We want something for you. And so if this is your first time, we're not going to ask you to give. We don't even pass a plate around. If this is your church, though, what we want you to know is that there are some principles that God teaches about finances, and as Christ followers, we want to do our best to follow those. So help us, what would you say God's part plays? Like, what part does God play in our finances?
I mean, ultimately, everything is God's, and so the money that he gives us, even though we work a job for it or whatever, it's all his. And so I learned at an early age, the church I grew up in, that we should always give back to God first. And so even when I would get $20 for cutting the grass or whatever, I'd always give 10% back to church. And like it became like just a part of my who I was, and has always, as my finances have grown, that money's grown as well, but it's always been a part of giving back. And Carlin, similar.
Yeah, and like if you have a calling on your life and you can't afford to do it, it gets awkward.
Sure,
so,
sure.
And like when I used to talk with students all the time, we would say, you know, convenience kills, because there's nothing in the Bible about convenience or that we're called to a life of convenience. And I would imagine if you asked Jesus if he felt like the plan was convenient, it was not for him.
So die on a cross, right? It was not convenient.
It wasn't on his plan for the day, and it wasn't the most convenient move. But,
sure.
You know, with the calling that you have on your life, it's going to require funding, and even Jesus needed people to fund what he did. So.
Yeah. Jamie, I'm really thankful that we grew up in a church that did model it for us. I have a student who says, I used to be a youth pastor, and he says that the only two things he remembers me teaching him are, number one, that when he grows up, he should find a wife like Monica, my wife, and number two, start practicing giving back to God at an early age, because it's a lot easier when you're dealing with $20 here and there than it is when you're dealing with our salary. So thanks for sharing that part in it. So the number one issue facing families today is not having enough income, and that's a real issue. And it's a real issue, not just because we don't have enough, but we also tend to spend more than what we bring in. The average American has almost $7,000 of credit card debt, and then added on top of that is $90,000 debt, including cars and houses and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of people struggle financially, and just it's a real pressure. So what can families do right now to help with their financial situation?
I mean, I think that a lot of times, it may be an income problem, but a lot of times it's not an income problem, it's a spending problem, that we spend every dollar that we make plus some more, and we don't leave any margin in our lives. And so the thing that's really helped us is having a budget and, like, making a plan, writing it down, and telling where every dollar is going to go, so it's not like we're just, like, paying this, paying that, spending that. We have a plan where it's going to go, and we make that in advance. That's where we argue about things sometimes.
We argue one time a month instead of 30 days of the month.
So we make that plan, and then we stick to it.
Yeah, we have an official budget meeting.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I learned my lesson early on that you don't miss the budget meetings.
What happens if you miss the budget meeting?
I mean, it depends on if you make the budget meeting, then you get to make the budget for the month. So you get to get the things that you might want to budget for.
So we were living with my parents because we had sold our house and we were waiting for our other house. And I don't know what I was doing, but I missed the budget meeting. And I came home and I was like, oh, well, he's like, you missed the budget meeting. I was like, well, let's just do it now. He's like, it's done. I'm like, what do you mean it's done? He's like, we're getting new bikes, we're getting Busch Gardens passes, and we're getting a new TiVo.
A TiVo.
It was in the budget.
I'm like, that's great.
Okay, so I learned I will never miss a budget meeting ever again.
That's right.
It goes a little to someone's favor when I'm not there.
Sure, sure. So I think it would have been easy to miss. I want to unpack something you just said, that you now argue once a month as opposed to 30 days of the month.
Well, yeah.
Walk us through that.
Well, because money is somewhat of a black and white issue. The opinion is what you do with it.
Sure.
And so if, you know, you don't have a plan for it, and somebody, there's always a spender and always a saver, but like if you're sitting down, you take your bills, you look at, like we look at our calendar when we're doing the budget, because birthdays aren't an emergency, your kids growing out of their clothes, not an emergency, you know, Christmas comes every year, and you decide what your expenses are going to be for that month, and you tell your money where to go before the month starts, and that way there's not, you know, any arguments on day 17 when we don't have any money left.
Sure. No, that's good. So not everyone knows you in here, but on the peninsula, a lot of people know you guys because you're very successful at real estate. And so if someone wanted to be skeptical, they could say, well, of course you're doing fine financially because you guys are like, you're killing it in the real estate world. But you guys weren't always in real estate.
No.
And so, so what are some disciplines that you practiced back when things were different financially?
Well, at one point, we actually both worked for churches.
God bless you.
If you don't know, they're not the highest paying people
usually,
in the world.
Not usually. So, I mean, really the same principles applied then than they do now. Like, it's literally like telling the money to go. There might be more money to tell where to go now, but it's...
Mo money, mo problems.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they say. But, I mean, it's really like the same principles apply across the board, whether you're making 50 grand or, I don't know, whatever.
I mean, and I worked for a real estate company when we were first dating and married. And then when the market turned, I was recognizing that some of the attitudes and ethical behaviors of the people that I worked with changed too. And so they were clearly, you know, their lifestyle was here and their income had dropped to here, and it makes you a different person. And that's why, I mean, we have a lot of military in this area. It's why, you know, they make people that have clearances get security and credit checks, because if you're volatile in your financial standing, you make different decisions. And so, you know, we were doing the Dave Ramsey plan. We had our emergency fund. We were in a comfortable place. We didn't have kids yet. And I just felt like, hey, like, I don't really agree with the behaviors of some of these people. And so I went to the manager and discussed my my issues. And he's like, I don't think you should get in people's personal business. And I feel like, you know, and I was like, well, I don't really feel like we can honestly say, like, we're in the ethical place if they're making unwise shit, you know, choices with their money. And so we agreed to disagree. And I decided that I wasn't going to work there anymore. And so when I went and told them that, they were like, well, you can't quit. You know, you have a non-compete and you can't sell real estate and da 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 da. And I'm like, I actually can, because we have savings and we don't have any debt and I don't need to make money right now, you know. And then when we were, you know, both working at the church, it just allowed us to, at the time, discover, you know, what we really wanted the calling on our life to be and what we wanted our ministry to be. And then we realized we could maybe push our ministry farther with some commas behind our salaries. And so we, you know, we had the money and the ability to start our own business at that point. And so, because we had followed the plan.
That's awesome. That's great. So what would you say are the advantages of a budget? How does that give us, what's an advantage of having a budget?
I mean, the advantage is, I mean, I guess it's really just like giving each, basically you're giving every dollar that you make a name. And this name might be Virginia Power, this name might be whatever, might be buying a bike. I mean, it's just giving it a name instead of the money just flying out of your bank account and you're like, where did all the money go?
Sure.
Like, where, I mean.
So you're telling your money where to go.
Yeah.
Putting a name to it.
It's going.
That's good. So let's be real though. There are some people who love budgets and love the discipline of it. And there are some people who don't. And so, is there a way to make a budget more fun? Because if you love a budget, you're just like, yeah, this is my life. This is great. I love numbers. I want to crunch them. But if you're not the type of person who likes a budget, you're like, this sounds horrible. You're like limiting my life. Get out of here with that business. Like, is there a way to make a budget more fun?
I mean, I think you can budget fun.
Jamie already thinks budgeting is
okay. No, I mean, you can put fun into your budget. Like, early, like we budget it, like, spending money, like,
yeah, like early on we each got $50 and and if I wanted to, Jamie's a big hater on getting my nails done.
Okay.
He drinks a lot
of
haterade.
It's a waste of money.
A lot of haterade about the nails.
Money. Hot take, Jamie.
And if you want to change your life financially, don't get your nails done.
Welcome to Jamie's TED Talk. How do you really feel?
That's not true. But like, so if I wanted to get my nails done, or if I wanted to go out to eat with my girlfriends, or if I wanted to get Starbucks or whatever, it came out of that $50. And then if we were eating out like together, that would be eating out budget, like our eating out budget. And I would always know when he was out of his money, because he'd be like, hey, you want to go to lunch? I'm like, you don't have any fun money left, do you? You need me to be present to spend eating out money. That's what you're using me for.
Nice.
But then like a couple years ago, we increased our fun money to like $75 a month. And
ooh.
I was like, we have made it.
Yeah.
Like, we have arrived at our financial destination because we each get $75 now.
That's awesome.
It was a big day.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine that's a big day. So debt is a big part of the reason that a lot of us struggle financially.
Yeah.
And so what strategy have you learned to get out, to get out of debt, because the honest thing is not everyone is just like trying to get in debt. Not everyone's just trying to spend more. But when you live paycheck to paycheck, life just happens. And so like you have to get new tires, or you have a medical emergency and you don't have another way to pay for it. And so then debt happens. And then once you have debt, it's just harder to pay it down. So what strategy have you learned to get out of debt?
Well, some people bring debt into your marriage that they don't even know about.
Okay.
Carlin had a student loan she didn't even know about, and we get married.
Here we go.
And now I got to pay her student loan.
I feel like this is good for you guys.
It was a long time ago, and it's I took care of it, okay? Like,
this is
I went
a safe
to work.
Place. Unpack all the stuff.
You're thinking
welcome
about getting
to our
married,
public marriage counseling session.
If you're thinking about getting married, like, discuss your debts.
Yeah.
That's, maybe I just didn't ask the right questions.
There you go.
But the strategy we learned is in... Dave Ramsey talks about in his book, it's called The Debt Snowball. And basically, you just list all your debts and you put the smallest one at the top and the biggest one on the bottom. You don't pay attention to like interest rates and that sort of thing. And you just start attacking that small debt and you pay the minimal on the rest and you pay that one off on the top. And then you move it down to the next one, that money you're spending on that, and just keep on rolling through all your debts. And the reason he says to start with the small one is just to kind of build that momentum and like have some wins. Because if you put like this $30,000 debt on the top, and it, you start chipping away at that, it's not going to feel like you're doing too much. But if you start with the few hundred dollar debt or whatever, you can start to gain that momentum and get this snowball rolling.
I mean, it's not fun in the beginning. It's terrible. But, like, if you look at where you, if you're in a financial situation right now where you have a ton of debt, it's not great either. So, like, at least that way you can control it, and that way your miserableness has a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, like, there's somewhere you're going with it.
Yeah.
And it makes it a little bit more palatable.
Sure.
When...
No, I'm glad you said that, because, like, it isn't fun.
No.
Like, one of the things my ministry coach says often is that in life, you'll either pay now or you'll pay later. But if you pay later, you'll pay more. Meaning that it costs something to be disciplined, but the cost of paying that price right now is less than if you're not disciplined later on, you'll pay more.
Yeah.
So that's good.
When I used to talk to students about money and, like, when they're seniors and stuff, I used to say, now, when you go to college, your first day, you're going to walk up the sidewalk and they're going to have this beautiful table with balloons all over it.
Yes,
and they're going to give you a free gift for opening a credit card. And I was like, and you're probably going to be an idiot with your credit card.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that doesn't make you an adult because you have a credit card. And I would say, and you take your little girlfriend on a date to the Mexican restaurant and pay an 18% interest on it for 6 months. It's like the world's most expensive poop you just took there. Like, you're paying $150 for a $7 quesadilla. Like,
right.
It doesn't make sense.
Right.
So I used to warn them all the time, like, be very careful, you know, if you think about the interest on a credit card, and if you're carrying it for months and months, like, you know, like a number one at Chick-fil-A is going to be $40. Like, would
right.
you go into Chick-fil-A and be like, I'm fine paying that for a
right.
chicken sandwich?
Yeah, not even the Lord's chicken's
no,
worth that.
No. So, I mean, the cost in reality of what you're buying with debt is, you know, is a much larger cost than what it would be if you just saved the money and paid cash for it.
Yeah. No, that's real. That's I wish that families talk more about money so that we could learn these lessons, not the hard way. When I went to college, one of my first weeks in college, what you just said happened. I lived out in real life. There was a table that had a banner, and the banner said free t-shirt. And so I walked up and I was like, I want a free t-shirt. And they were like, here, sign this. And I didn't even ask like what I was signing. I was just like, okay, here, you can have my information.
You also
and
joined a fraternity.
I could have done anything. Like I could have literally signed my life away. Like I just literally was like, oh, free t-shirt. And it wasn't even that good of a t-shirt. Like it wasn't even like that great of a t-shirt, but I just wanted it. And then like midway through, I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm filling out. And so I realized I was applying for a credit card. And so I was like, oh, like, that's cool. I'll be an adult now, and I'll get my own credit card. And so they gave me this credit card. I didn't ask any questions. I didn't know that the credit card had 18% interest on it. And so I went to Best Buy, and I bought a computer because I was like, now I have a credit card. And that $1,500 computer probably cost me over $3,000 because I paid it off. It took me 5 years to pay off that computer.
One of those like colored Macs that had the cool color?
I wish. No, it was a Dell because the commercial was like, dude, you got a Dell. And I was like, that's awesome.
You got a junky computer.
I did. I got a junky $1,500 computer that I paid. It took me 5 years. I was paying for it even after the computer expired. Like it didn't even work anymore. And I was still paying it off. So debt and savings, they're both important. Would you say one is more important than the other?
I would say that both are important.
Okay.
Because if you don't have savings, then you're going to, when something happens, you need new tires, you have a medical expense, you're just going to pull out your credit card and swipe it and get farther into debt. So I think it's really important to get that savings, that emergency fund, So when those rainy days happen, you're prepared and you have something to fall back on.
Yeah, I mean, Dave Ramsey says you start with $1,000 and then you work on your debt snowball. But, I mean, obviously, if you have, like, 11 kids and all kinds, you probably want a bigger emergency fund.
Sure.
Because they're going to break an arm or something. They always do something.
So you start, the first step is, before you attack the debt, the first step is to save this
right.
emergency fund. So if something happens, you can pull from that and not go into more debt.
Yeah, and then if you use your emergency fund for some reason, you stop your debt snowball and you go back to refilling the emergency fund so that you're not... I mean, the easiest way to get out of debt is to first not go into more debt.
Sure.
Like, you have to stop at some point going sure. into debt.
Sure. So, in family, not always are we on the same page, especially for those that are married today.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to be in the dating world, opposites attract. But then once you get married, opposites attack. And so, oftentimes, we are attracted to someone that's different. So, you have... A spender is oftentimes attracted to a saver, and at first it's great, but then once you get into marriage, it's like, oh, this is horrible, and we don't like it. So what advice would you give to couples or to families who are not on the same page financially?
I mean, I think it's a really tough place to be, and we can't always control what other people do, but we can control what we do.
Mm.
So I would say that you do the things that you can control. If you get a certain amount of money or whatever, you apply the principles of that money that you get and do the things that you control. And then hopefully the other person will see how that makes a difference and then maybe eventually get on board. But it's definitely
I mean, you're trying to be politically correct?
No, I mean, it's hard.
I mean, if you're a Christ follower, the Bible is clear on what we're supposed to do with our money and what we're not supposed to do with our money. And so, like, you know, I meet people and they're like, I have a doctorate in theology. I'm like, oh, and he's like, and I got $500,000 in student loans. I'm like, did you skip Proverbs the whole time you were in college? Like, what are you doing? So, I mean, it's clear to protect us why we're not a slave to the lender, and it's clear why we need money in our storehouse. That's another book that we like is The Storehouse Principle.
Okay.
Shameless plug.
Yeah.
But, like, for us, I emotionally know how much money I need to feel secure.
And I wish I knew how much that was. It seems to change often.
Whatever. So
fluctuating scale.
Yeah.
Never-ending savings. So, but I know that as a female, and it may not be for all, but like my personality is I know how much money I need to feel secure so that I'm not stressed about money. And in order to make that happen, we have to obviously save money for that money to be in our emergency. And so it's ironic that I'm the one that goes to Target and, you know, buys shoes. Jamie is the one that if he pulls out the check card, he's going to make it count.
Yeah.
Like, he's not buying a hat. He's not buying, like, he's not going to buy a tractor or some sort of equipment that costs $3,000 or something. And so we have learned, like, for us to be on the same page, he has to understand that for me to feel, you know, secure, I need X amount of dollars, and he's fine not spending money at Target, and I'm not.
Sure.
So we have to budget for that.
You have to budget for the Target run.
Yeah.
That's great. So I think this has all been helpful, but obviously a 30-minute discussion on finances isn't going to just change someone's life. So if a family is looking for more help or resources, what would you recommend?
Yeah, there's a website that we use called everydollar.com, and it's a budgeting software, and it's definitely been really helpful to us, and it tracks your spending and allows you to put it in your budget categories and stuff like that. So that's been really helpful. And you mentioned...
That Total Money Makeover was the first book that we did. That it gives you the steps to go through it. But, I mean, like, if you're not on the same page at some level, I mean, even Dave Ramsey says, if your spouse is not willing to do the steps, don't try it. Because
okay.
It's just a way to... It's going to create a fireball instead of an avalanche of snowball. So, I mean, a marriage counselor would be the next step, in my opinion. If you're both so adamant that you're on different foundational viewpoints of money, then you need to talk to a professional and let them handle it in a professional setting.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. If you're new to Next Level, we talk about counseling often. We believe in counseling. And one of the reasons that we talk about it is that there's just this stigma around it. And for some people, it feels like I don't want to admit that there's some brokenness in my life or in my marriage. And so oftentimes people wait until things are at level 10 to go ask for some help. And what I would encourage you just to practice is practice the discipline of asking for help when problems are small. Oftentimes when you bring to someone a level 10 problem, it's that much harder to unpack and to work out. And so if you can just practice and say, hey, this isn't a level 10 issue, but I wanted to go to someone, a safe person. And we use Genesis counseling around here a lot, and it's just a safe place to go and have some conversations. And finances is something that they can help you out with. So you mentioned another book. What was the other book that you mentioned?
The Treasure Principle and the Storehouse Principle. But if you want to be convicted, if that's the best way to speak to you, then those are the books that you read. Because it just tells us that, you know, what God calls us for the purpose in our life and how we use his money to further kingdom. I mean, it's very biblical.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So, and then, Jamie, I think you had something about Total Money Maker.
Yeah, I mean, it really did change our lives. And so we want to help you out today. And so if you can't afford that book or whatever, we brought a few copies and we want to give them to you. And if we run out, we'll buy another one and give it to you. So if you want a copy of Total Money Makeover, just come see us after the service and we'd love to give you that.
That's great. That's awesome. It's very generous of you guys. So would you guys help me thank Jamie and Carlin for being here today? I'm going to pray for us in just a second, but before I do that, next week we're kicking off a brand new series entitled Questions for Christians, and it is a series that is really for two groups of people. If you're a Christian, it's an amazing series for you because it's going to be a series where you're going to learn what do we actually believe and why do we believe it, and are there answers to some of the tough questions that are being asked to Christians? But if you know someone who didn't grow up in church or who is interested about Christianity, this is an amazing series to bring them because we're going to actually answer some of the tough questions that are causing people to say, I don't know if I really want to believe in that Jesus because of these issues. We're going to wrestle with that, and that starts next week. But for now, I'd love to wrap up by praying for us. Would you guys pray with me as we wrap things up today? God, we're just so thankful that you're a God who gives second, third, fourth, infinity chances, that you're a God who loves us so much. And God, you give us systems, you give us plans, you give us ideas to help better our lives, but the truth is we just make mistakes. We don't always follow through. And so I ask right now, God, that you would just be planting in our hearts and our minds some ideas for us to organize and to run our families in a way that honors you. And we ask specifically with help with this in the area of finances. We thank you, God, for Jamie and for Carlin for sharing their wisdom and their story with us today. And thank you for our church. We just ask that you would just do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to hear more, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net. You can also follow us on social media at Next Level 757. Join us next time.